بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله. الصحابي رضي الله عنه that we are about to discuss is famously known as one of the شعراء. His speciality was he was a poet of جناب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he would stand up to defend the honor and dignity of جناب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was none other than Hazrat Abdullah ibn Rawahat ibn Tha'labat ibn Mru'i al-Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the Khazraj tribe, al-Khazraji. For us to remember at least this much, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. Allah give us tawfiq. He would stand up to defend Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a noble task is that, wherein one stands up to defend the dignity of Islam and the honor of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's early efforts in Makkah Mukarramah, when he would meet the different tribes, and finally he then met the two men from Medina Munawwara, namely Hazrat Rifa'a and Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra. Then Allah's Nabi one night, it was the 11th year after Hijrah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met six youngsters from Medina Munawwara. Those six returned to Medina Munawwara, and they returned to Rasulullah the next year, meaning 12th year after Nubuwa, with new brothers, five from the previous year and seven new brothers. And amongst those seven was none other than Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He always kept a very close ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He devoted his life to defending and praising Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's an interesting report wherein he says, one day I was in front of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi instructed me, say some words of poetry impromptu, meaning without former preparation, just say it now as you look at me. He says, I started uttering these words, إِنِّي تَفَرَّشْتُ فِيكَ الْخَيْرَ أَعْرِفُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنَّمَا خَانَنِ الْبَصَرُ أَنْتَ النَّبِيُّ وَمَنْ يُحْرَمْ شَفَاعَتَهُ يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ لَقَدْ أَزْرَى بِهِ الْقَدَرُ فَثَبَّتَ اللَّهُ مَا آتَاكَ مِنْ حَسَنٍ تَثْبِيتَ مُوسَى وَنَصْرًا كَالَّذِي نُصِرُ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was elated by these words, wherein Allah's Nabi gave him dua, may Allah keep you firm as well, O Abdullah. And in his words he says, O my Nabi, inni tafarrastu fika al-khayr. My foresight is clear, that I can see definitely such goodness in you, my eye can never be incorrect. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the Nabi of Allah, and he who is deprived of thy intercession on the Day of Judgment is certainly the most wretched of all. May Allah reward you and always keep you firm in the goodness He has given you, just like He kept Hazrat Musa alayhi salam firm. And may Allah give you the special nusra with which every Nabi of Allah, was helped and supported and strengthened thereby. Allah's Nabi gave him du'as of firmness and istiqama on deen when he heard these beautiful words of Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abdullah participated then in the bay'ah of Aqaba, wherein Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the people of Medina during those nights of Hajj. He was one participant there, and he also participated. So he's a veteran of Badr. His appellation was Abu Muhammad and also Abu Rawaha. But he didn't have children. A famous Sahabi, Hazrat Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu, he was Hazrat Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu's khal. Khal means mother's brother. So Hazrat Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu's mother's brother was Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. And he was also a scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And interestingly, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him on certain occasions in charge of Medina Munawwara. To be specific, it was the occasion of Badr al-Mu'id. Hazrat Abdullah participated in Badr, but there's another Badr called Badr Mu'id, because on the occasion of Badr, as there was a departure, which was Uhud, he participated in Uhud. As the Muslims departed and the Mushrikeen were leaving, they had an appointment that the next year we'll meet in the lands of Badr. Hazrat Abdullah was so obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him out in Allah's way or for any task, he fulfilled those tasks to the best of his ability. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to fulfill a task amongst the Jews of Khaybar. He fulfilled that. And so obedient he was. One day he was coming towards Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi from the minbar said to everyone, sit. He just heard Allah's Nabi's words, sit. And just where he was, he sat down on the spot. He didn't use his logic or anything else to say, no, Allah's Nabi is referring to those in front of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was elated by this quality of Hazrat Abdullah. And Allah's Nabi said to him afterwards, Zadak Allahu hirsan ala tawa'iyyati Allahi wa tawa'iyyati Rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah increase you in enthusiasm over your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah increase you with such enthusiasm. This is the quality Allah ta'ala loves, obedience. Hazrat Abdullah was known for such obedience, like all the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Something else very and really interesting about him was he loved the majalis of Iman. Any gathering wherein Iman was discussed, Iman was the objective, and Iman was the topic, and the gatherings of preservation of Iman, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu would love such gatherings. He would sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the preservation of Iman, and then he would go to the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu that say, come, let's sit in the gatherings of Iman. Let's sit to discuss Iman. Let's sit to protect our Iman. From here we learn the importance of worrying for our Iman. When someone complained to Abdullah bin Rawaha, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Abdullah bin Rawaha, that look at him, he's calling people to sit in majalisun Iman. Allah's Nabi was so happy with his quality. Rahimallahu Ibn Rawaha, innahu yuhibbul majalis allati tatabaha biha al malaika. May Allah bless him with special mercies because he loves the gatherings that malaika boast about. That means that Allah's Nabi was happy with gatherings when people sit and worry for their iman. Because Allah wants us to worry about our iman. Allah in the Quran says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasuli. O those who have iman, preserve and protect your iman. How do you say to one who's already partaking of a meal in your home, that have, partake, try this and try that, would you? Yes, you would. If he's eating in a manner that's inadequate, not even enough, or he's partaking a little and he's shy, you would want your guest to partake much more. You would want your guest to enjoy the ikram. So in the same way, sometimes we have some basic deen or basic Islam in us, or a little level of Iman. Allah wants us to have more Iman. Allah wants us to worry about our Iman. Even though if we have little Iman, it's little. We must aspire to have more Iman and love Iman and increase in our Iman. One brother, one person has a glass full of water. The second has a bucket full of water. The third has an entire pool or pond full. What one can do with the cup is much less than what can be carried out with the bucket. And then more so, nothing comparison to what one has in his pot, pond, or pool, or stream. Even though all have water. Somebody has 10 rands, the other has 100, the other has 1,000, and the fourth has 100,000. So the one who has 10 rands has 10 rands, but what can be accomplished with the 10? In the same way, we want Allah's Jannah with little Iman. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha would encourage and aspire to uplift Iman, teaching the Ummah the importance of Iman. This is why all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would worry about each other's Iman. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when people would visit him, because he taught Allah's deen in Kufa. He went to Kufa, he taught Allah's deen for years there. Then he returned to Medina Munawwara. So whenever the people of Kufa would come to Medina Munawwara and they would visit Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he would take kar guzari, report back from them. And he would ask them about their condition. What would their condition be? What was their condition like? Among the questions he asked them, Hal tazawarun, do you brothers, do you visit each other for Allah's sake? Do you visit each other for the pleasure of Allah? They say, we don't leave such a thing if we don't see our brother. إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنَّا لَيَمْشِي عَلَىٰ قَدَمَيْهِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْكُوفَةِ. One of us would aspire to go to the end of the city and he would make sure he visits his brother. And then he would say, do you sit and discuss Iman? هَلْ تَجَالَسُونَ. They say, لَا نَتْرُكُ ذَلِكَ. We never leave such practices that you taught us. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, as long as you sit
together worrying about iman and each other's iman, and as long as you visit each other and have concern and care for each other's iman, Allah will continue giving us goodness. لَن تَزَالُوا بِخَيْرٍ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ ذَلِكَ. Your condition of goodness will continue as long as these practices are alive in you. Allah give us tawfiq to worry and care for our iman, as Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu would teach the ummah. Alhamdulillah, there was an amazing relationship between the great Sahabi Hazrat Abu Darda and Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Darda's name was Uwaymir bin Malik radiallahu anhu. He, from his young days, he was devoted to idolatry, and he was a very prominent businessman in Medina Munawwara. One day he awakens early, he prepares his idol, washing it, bathing it, purifying it, perfuming it, and then he comes out to go to his trade, and he sees the streets of Medina Munawwara was filled with people. The followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, were returning from Badr, and he notices the large exodus of captives from Quraysh. So he turned away and he just went to one youngster asking one question. Please tell me, I have one question. He says, what is it? He says, where is Abdullah bin Rawaha? So the youngster says, you know what? He sacrificed greatly, bravely in Allah Ta'ala's way. He says, but tell me, is he back? Is he okay? He says, Alhamdulillah, he's safe and sound. That's all Abu Darda wanted to know. And the youngster also didn't find his question strange, because the relationship between the two was really strong. They had like brotherhood from their young days. They were contemporaries and they grew up together and always had that special love and time for each other. When the advent of Islam came, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, but Hazrat Abu Darda turned away. But Abdullah bin Rawaha did not leave an opportunity. So to say, he didn't leave a stone unturned in inviting his brother to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He explained to him Islam on many occasions, and it saddened him severely that his friend is on shirk and idolatry, ascribing partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, Abu Darda went to his trade, and as he was sitting there doing his business, telling his people what to do and so forth, at that time, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha goes to his house to see where's Abu Darda. Abu Darda wasn't there, so it seems probably he went there for some different intention. He sees the door open and he sees Ummu Darda there in the courtyard. So he greets her, Assalamu alayki ya Amatallah. She greets him, Wa alaykum assalam, O the brother of Abu Darda. So he asks her, where's Abu Darda? She says, you know, he's gone to his trade and he'll come sometime later, it won't be long. She says, do you allow me to enter? He says, yes. He asks her, she says, you know, you're welcome, ala rahbi wa sa'a. And he goes in and she carries on with the house. She knows that Abu Darda was very close to Abdullah bin Rawaha, and he was in and out of the house. And while she was occupied in everything, in her work, Abdullah bin Rawaha did something very, very strange and interesting. He tried very hard to inspire his brother, his friend, towards Islam. But he realized that it wasn't working. So now he wanted to use a different strategy, because he felt he was close to Abu Darda and this would open the mind of Abu Darda. So he goes into the idol room of Abu Darda and he addresses those idols, saying that, what can you do? Everything besides Allah is batil. Everything besides Allah cannot do. You are man-made. And he starts crushing those idols and destroying them. And he was saying, Ala kullu ma yud'a ma Allahi batilu. There's an interesting hadith I was reading in Hakim, where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Meccan stage meets a man by the name of Rifa'a. And Rifa'a says that, I was the first of the people of Medina to embrace Islam. He says, I actually saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, and I said to my cousin Mu'adh bin Afra, this is in Mecca, before Islam even entered Medina Munawwara, but we heard about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's da'wat. So I said to my brother, let's go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe he'll keep our camel for us while we're gone for Hajj. Maybe this good Arab man will help us. So they met Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked him, are you the one they're speaking about? Allah's Nabi says, yes, it is me. So Allah's Nabi seized the opportunity and said to Rifa'a, Rifa'a, I want you to tell me. He says, what is it? Oh Rifa'a, who created the mountains? I want an honest answer. He says, actually Allah. He says, oh Rifa'a, who created the earth? I responded, Allah. Who created the skies? Allah. Okay, Rifa'a, who made us? He said, I honestly answered. He asked me to respond honestly. I said, Allah. He said, okay. In that case, Rifa'a, the idols that people worship, who manufactured those? So Rifa'a says, I thought about it. And I said, you know what? In actual fact, we manufactured them and, you know, prepared them and carved them and so forth. So Allah's Nabi said, okay, I'm keeping your camels, but just think about it. Why don't we worship He who made us? And what we made, let those things worship us. Allahu Akbar. What a way of wisdom to break ice with people, to politely explain to people that the Allah who we have to worship is one and He has no partner and we all need to turn to Him. He made everything. He made us. And respected brother, sister, respected mother, father, we have to use the same strategy with all our friends, with our associates, with our employers, employees. Call them over. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ikram, yeah. What was the ikram? Allah's Nabi kept a camel for them. The hadith is lengthy. He says Allah's Nabi was making our ikram. In that, this the companion of Rifa'a was so inspired by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to Rifa'a, you carry on by the Kaaba. I'm sitting here by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I went by the Kaaba. I was mind boggled by what he said, thinking about it, brainstorming it. What he says is true. I went by the Kaaba. He casted lots. This was what they would do in Jahiliyyah. He says, oh Allah, if this is true, show it to me. And as I casted those lots and I picked up my arrows 7 times, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name came out. And I said, oh Allah, I bring iman. By the Kaaba, I made that intention. Someone overheard me. He said, no, he's irreligious. Don't follow him. Rifa'a says, I said to that individual, no, he is on truth. I returned where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting. I find my cousin there was already convinced. So I said to them, yes, I also am bringing iman. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called us to shahada, to kalima, to iman. And sitting there and then, he taught us Surah Yusuf and Surah Iqra. Because these are early Meccan revealed chapters of the Quran Kareem. Iqra bismi rabbik and Surah Yusuf. My point here is, Allah's Nabi in so many ahadith, and here in this hadith specifically, teaches us how to break the ice. With those employers, employees, friends, associates, neighbors, colleagues, over a cup of tea, ask this individual, even if it's not in a congregation, just one-on-one, which is many a time more effective, because there isn't that herd instinct now that someone else is watching what they will say. Now this person's heart is open, his mind is open. Ask him, think, my brother, you speak to my brother, my sister, you speak to my sister, in the form of your neighbor, your friend, your associate. Ask that individual, hey, you know what? Who made the skies? Who made the earth? Who created everything around us? And ask them, who created us? And we can explain to a person in such a beautiful manner through explaining oxygen, how we breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide, how the honeybee prepares that honey. How is all of this happening? Did it happen by chance? No, there's a maker, there's a creator. Simple examples to make people think. And this is the duty of every ummati of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Yusuf, we just mentioned now Surah Yusuf. I would love you to check it up. All of us should be connecting to Quran Kareem more and more. The month of Ramadan is coming. Surah Yusuf, ayah number 107. Allah says to His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, O Nabi of Allah, Qul, tell them, O Nabi of Allah, Hadihi sabili, this is my way. This is my path. This is my road. And Allah doesn't leave it ambiguous. O my Nabi, tell them, what is your path? Ad'u ila Allah. I am an inviter to Allah. Ala basira, with wisdom and insight. Ana, this is my way, my work, my road, my path, my objective, my way of life. Sabili, ana, my way, wa man ittaba'ani, and everyone who follows me, this is his way. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah says to His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you claim you love Allah, fattabi'uni, follow me. Yeah, Allah is teaching His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell humanity, what do the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Ana wa man ittaba'ani, that every opportunity take to introduce Allah to humanity and introduce Islam to humanity. Allah give us tawfiq. That's all it takes. Yesterday, a friend of mine invited me. We had meals together. He called his friends who were with him in school. Now, these friends of mine are in their 50s. Their friends are the same. And it was the time of Isha. So we called the Adhan. And these were their friends were non-Muslim. So we said, come, sit next to us. See how we pray. And if you like to join us, you're welcome. And after that, they sat. And they saw how we made sajda. They joined in the sajda. They said, the response and the reaction of these non-Muslims, we've never experienced something so enjoyable. And after the salah, we had a little discussion. Similar, just deducing from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak life. And then we also explained Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's life in the Quran Kareem, how many times he's mentioned and so forth. At the end, I tell you, these non-Muslims were so affected by this. They said, please, we want to know more about Islam. We exchanged numbers. That's all it takes. Bring a person a little closer. Here, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha uses this strategy with his brother. What you can do is ask a person, that you know what, these things that are made by man, why do we have to worship those things? How can they help us? Why don't we turn directly to the Allah who made us? Anyway, in this, when he did this and demolished these idols, and this Allah mentions Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did the same. Anyway, Hazrat Abu Darda, when he came home, he finds his wife crying and emotional. What's wrong? She couldn't answer. Then he was insisting, tell me. So she says, your brother Abdullah bin Rawaha, see what he did. So he goes in his temple, in his home, and he sees what happened, and he was now enraged. He was now upset. In Surah Anbiya and in many chapters of the Quran Kareem, actually 67 times in the Quran Kareem, Allah mentions the incident of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In Surah Anbiya, verse number 51, actually we should read this incident. Allah details for us the story, the narrative of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how he worked on his father, how he asked his father, what are these images that you are worshipping besides Allah and you are devoting yourself to? And what was his father's reaction? And how he explained to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بل ربكم رب السماوات والأرض الذي فطرهن وأنا على ذلكم من الشاهدين وتالله لأكيدن أصنامكم بعد أن تولوا مدبرين فجعلهم جذاذا إلا كبيرا لهم لعلهم إليه يرجعون. He said to himself, I'm going to make a plan to make them realize what are these idols all about. And his plan was after they go away. And what he did was he crushed Judhadan. He broke, he crushed those idols. And he left the main, the big idol, إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ, the bigger idol, لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرُجِعُونَ, so that they may refer to the big idol and from there realize, hey, if the big idol doesn't want partners, that means the creator also doesn't want partners. And the other meaning here, إِلَيْهِ, this could refer to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. He made a plan here, where he was absent from their ceremony and he left them. Now when they return and they saw what happened in their temple, he wanted them to come to him to ask questions. So we learn from here that create some interest in people. Use some strategy to inspire people to ask about the beauty of Islam. And especially what happens in the world in these times, people want to ask, but all we have to do is be polite, be approachable, and inspire certain mannerisms that will entice people and encourage them to ask. And then, without taking offense, respectfully we should respond. لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ, so that they refer to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to ask him questions. قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا, so create that interest in people, make them ask. So they said, who did this to our deities? Definitely he is of the oppressors. Then they said, we heard a youngster, يَذْكُرُهُمْ, he would mention idols in this manner to say that do not worship a worship thing, but worship the creator. Yeah, who's that person? يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, he's called Ibrahim. Go to him. فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ, bring him in front of everyone. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ, so that they all can witness what is his response. Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted. He wanted an opportunity to share the truth with everyone. They asked him, did you do this? He said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ, the big one did it. So the big one, Mufassirin explained that it could refer to him saying that Allah made it happen, because Allah alone is big. And it could also refer to him making them think that, from all the idols, the big idol did it. So ask them who did it to them, if they can speak. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is creating interest in people through this strategy. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ Now they started recollecting in their hearts that, you know what? What he's saying is right. We're worshipping these things and asking them for help. When the being who made us and creates us and cares for us and provides for us and maintains us is someone else. So they're telling each other, yeah, you all are the wrongdoers. فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ You all are the wrongdoers. You all are zalim by worshipping what is not to be worshipped. So momentarily, they started thinking correctly. Allahu Akbar. We learn from here, create interest, make people think, and inshallah, they'll get hidayah. But then Quran mentioned, sadly, another incident that happened after that. That what this led to was, now because of the herd instinct, they were turned upside down. ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ They went upside down because they didn't want to accept their wrong. And this is what hinders many people. I'm accepting the truth is, they do not want to accept or confess to the fact that we were wrong before. So they say, yeah, you all know these things don't speak. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْطِقُونَ We are still worshipping it. How can you do this, O Ibrahim? So Ibrahim alayhi salam seized another opportunity. Okay, so you know these things can't utter or articulate or help or benefit. قَالَ أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ Would you worship then besides Allah what cannot avail you or cannot harm you, cannot do anything for you? Woe to you and what you worship besides Allah. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Why don't you then use your intellect and think that the Allah who made us, we denouncing Him, and the things we made, we worshipping it. They couldn't take this. And they said, burn him and support and defend your deities if you're going to do anything about it. And Allah speaks of how Allah rescued and saved Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. I ask you, my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, why is this incident in the Quran Kareem with such detail? This is not a fairy tale. This is not here without relevance. Quran in such detail is teaching us how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam created interest in the people, how he inspired the people, how he invited the people, and how then they almost changed, how they then went back onto the yellow line, how they retracted their statement, how then they tried to punish him, how then Allah helped him by turning the fire into coolness and comfort for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This is in Quran Kareem for a purpose, that us as the ummatis of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, how Anbiya alayhi salam worked on humanity, instilling wisdom into them, guiding them. For this Allah says, this ummat is the best. And this is the incident that inspired Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiyallahu anhu to bring a change in his close friend and associate, his childhood friend, that he couldn't bear him, you know, in such condition, dying without iman. You and I, let's start. Our teachers who taught us in school, our friends, our associates, inspire them. And the month of Ramadan is coming. Hearts become softened. And it's an opportunity to share the truth with humanity. At first, Hazrat Abu Darda was infuriated. Then he calmed down and he thought to himself, you know what my friend always told me was true. How can I worship something that cannot even help me, cannot even harm me, cannot even benefit me? You know, and he went to Abdullah bin Rawaha and he said, you know, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he embraced Islam. Hazrat Abu Darda would always say, أعوذ بالله من أن يأتي علي يوم لا أذكر فيه عبد الله بن رواحة Ya Allah, save me from a day that I don't remember, that I do not remember my brother Abdullah bin Rawaha and his kindness that he showed me by bringing me to Islam. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abu Darda always remembered the kindness of Abdullah bin Rawaha. Show kindness and take pity upon humanity by sharing the truth with them. Otherwise, we'll be answerable on the day of judgment. Then Abu Darda says, whenever he met me and I was approaching him, he would strike me on my chest. And whenever he met me and I was going in the other direction, he would strike me, he would pat me on my back. And he would say to me, Ya Umair, Ya Umair, ijlis, falnu'min, sa'a, come sit, sit. Let's strengthen our iman for a while. Let's discuss iman for a while. فَنَجْلِسُ فَنَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ مَا شَاءَ We would sit and we would talk about Allah, that Allah has done this for us. Allah does that for us. Allah created everything. Everything is from Allah. Allah does, creation can't do. Everything is from Allah. Nothing is from creation. Then he would say, Ya Umair, هَذِهِ مَجَالِسُ الْإِيمَانِ See these gatherings where Allah is remembered. Allah's name is taken. Allah's dhikr takes place. Allah's greatness and bounties and favors are being extolled. These are the majalis of iman. These are the majalis of iman. So this is what Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha taught the ummah. Such gatherings of iman. And this is what is needed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Abdullah bin Rawaha for this. Rahim Allah ibn Rawaha. Allah have mercy upon Abdullah bin Rawaha. Innahu yuhibbul majalis allati tatabaha bihal malaika. He loves the majalis that malaika boast about. Malaika are envious of these gatherings where we sit and discuss iman. Imagine malaika call each other. Malaika call each other and they come and they sit and they pile upon each other and heap above each other till the skies because they also want to be part and parcel of something so special where Allah's name is taken, Allah's greatness is being extolled, Allah's bounties are being reminded of and extolled. Allah, give us tawfiq also to talk about Allah. Let's not feel shy. This is what Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu used to advocate. Everywhere he went, he would say, come, let's sit and discuss iman. Come, let's sit and discuss iman. Let's improve our iman. Let's increase our iman. Let's protect our iman. Let's talk about iman, about Allah, his favors, his bounties, his kindness, his favors every second of the day. Because if we analyze every second of the day, every moment, Allah's bounties are pouring upon us in such abundance, and our ingratitude is the reaction to Allah's many, many bounties. On one occasion, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha becomes ill. And in his illness, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visits him. And Allah's Nabi makes dua for him. That, O Allah, if his time is up, make his death easy for him. And O Allah, if it's not the time of his departure, because our time of departure is decreed by Allah already, fashfihi, O Allah, you grant him shifa. And he then, very soon after that, found relief and cure. فَوَجَدَ خِفَّةً So he said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in my ailment, my mother was complaining, saying, وَاجَبَلَا وَاظَهْرَا Oh, my greatest support, oh, my pillar of support, oh, my mountain, who now is going to help me? And she was crying and whining and complaining in this manner. And as she was screaming and crying like this, there was an angel raising a plank of steel and metal towards me, wanting to strike me with it, saying, are you the one who's the support of strength or pillar of strength to anyone? Are you the one who's doing all of this? O Nabi of Allah, if I were to say yes, the angel would have struck me with that plank. Allahu Akbar, we learn from you, and this is explained in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a person departs from this world and his family members start saying, Ya, why us? Why it happened to me? And so forth. And then this person is reprimanded for the reaction of his family members and his household. And what is the meaning of this hadith? How can one be punished for the sins of others? The reason for this is, it was his duty to teach his family. This is for you and I. It's our duty to teach our family members that our provider is Allah. Yes, your father goes to work and Allah provides sustenance. But this is from Allah. Yes, we are working because this is the teaching of deen. And we are earning our sustenance. But actually, the actual rizq is coming from Allah. So Allah is providing for you. And you are in illness, Allah is the curer. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينَ So we have to teach our children, Allah is the provider. And when your father dies, Allah is still going to provide for you because Allah was there, is there, will always be there, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he didn't teach iman and fulfill his duty of deen to his family, this is why a person is interrogated like this after his death. That's why it's so important at times to travel for Allah Ta'ala. Because if we are inseparable and all the time with our family, when we die, it makes it more difficult. When we go and we come, and we go for Allah and we come, then we teach them, see, now we go in this world for shorter bouts of time, for shorter periods of time. But when we leave, by Allah on a permanent basis, then still Allah is going to provide. So like that, we have to protect the iman of our family members and our associates. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, we would be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on journeys, and on occasions the weather would be scorching, فَالْيَوْمِ الْحَارِ, and amongst us none would be fasting except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This was his devotion to Allah, this was his love for deen. Another very interesting quality of his, and this is narrated by Ibn Abi Layla, who says, a man proposed for the wife of Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, because Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu passed away in the Battle of Muta. We'll discuss that inshallah. But then he says to her, you know why I want to wed you? Because I want you to teach me the practices and the character and the traits of Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. How was he? I want to be like him. Anyway, they wedded, and then she told him that whenever he came home, the first thing he did was he went straight to Salah. He made Turakat Salah. And before he left the home, he always performed Turakat Salah and then left the home. لا يدعو ذلك أبدا. He never ever left this habit in his life. All his life he did this. Allahu Akbar. What a quality. When he arrives home, Turakat Salah. When he left his home, Turakat Salah. And his consciousness of Allah and his taqwa was so immense, Allahu Akbar, and so great. On one occasion he was laying on his wife's lap and he was tearing. So he noticed that she is also tearing. So he asks her, oh my wife, what makes you cry? She says, you know, I'm crying because you're crying. Why are you crying? Allahu Akbar. He's crying, so she's crying. And she doesn't even know why he's crying. Subhanallah. But then she asked him, what makes you cry? He says that I'm worried, how will we pass the pul sirat, the bridge on Jahannam? Allah says, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا, that everyone will have to cross the pul sirat. That Allah has told us that we have to cross. I'm worried, how will we cross? This worry makes me tear, Allahu Akbar. This was the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, the consciousness of Allah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the khashya of Allah. Al-khashya huwa al-khawfu ma'a al-ta'zim, is that fear of Allah ta'ala with the greatest of respect. Allah give us all the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha was the sha'ir of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And any opportunity to share Allah's deen with others, Allah's Nabi would call him. And he would stand up even in battle to instill fear into the mushrikeen, into the non-Muslims, and inspire the Muslims. Even on entry into Makkah, it was Abdullah bin Rawaha right by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rendering amazing words of praise of Allah ta'ala, of praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, oh Abdullah bin Rawaha, in the haram, you're uttering shi'r. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him. Oh Umar, these words have such an impact on the hearts of humanity. Leave him. It has very, very piercing impacts. The words of Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. Allah's Nabi would give him du'as. And inshallah in the next discussion we'll continue with the latter portion of Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, where he was chosen as one of the amirs, as Sahaba were going into Roman territory to take Islam to the world. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.